Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our study this Sunday is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. We read again, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." This is the word of our Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, sin causes stress. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but it is certainly true. When we're aware of our guilt, we become afraid of punishment, and this means stress. When some other person sins against us, it may put us in danger that causes us to feel fear, or cause us discomfort that leaves us feeling unbalanced, or make us angry and frustrated, or simply cause problems for us that we then have to solve, and that means stress. Our own sin, of course, is the biggest stress inducer. In our first lesson, the very first thing Samuel needs to say to the people of Israel, who have just been convicted of their sin in asking for a human king like all the other nations had, in place of having God as their ruler, first thing he needs to say to them is, "Do not be afraid." And he addressed the source of their stress. "You have done all this evil." But then he focused them on the grace and mercy of their Lord, while also reminding them that the way to avoid future stress like this was to fear and serve the Lord and to not do evil. We do well to consider more often that the cause of much of our stress is not other people or the world conspiring against us, but our own sinful choices and actions. More importantly, our hearts can never truly be at peace when they are carrying the weight of unrepented and unforgiven sin. But along with the pressure of spiritual guilt comes more practical pressures and problems. You know, the sharp words that you had for your wife yesterday mean that today she's not doing you any favors when you could really use the help. Your refusal this morning to listen to your mom or dad means that this afternoon you've got to work on that project all by yourself instead of getting together with a friend who would gladly share the load. Your laziness last week at your job means that this week you have to stay late and maybe even work this weekend to catch up on everything that you didn't get done. That kind of practical stress can be a blessing to us, though, because if we pay attention, it serves to remind us of our sin, and that will, in turn, move us to repent and turn to God and ask for forgiveness. And he will give it, not because we have earned it or are in any way worthy of a break from him, but he will give us forgiveness because Jesus Christ secured salvation for us and for all sinners with his suffering and death on the cross of Calvary and sealed it with his resurrection from the dead. Jesus, the very Son of God, took all of our sins and all of their guilt upon himself, and in keeping with his Father's will, offered himself as the sacrifice that satisfied all the demands of justice against every act, word, and attitude of disobedience. He did it all, everything that was necessary for our salvation. Trust in Christ and his work for you, and you are delivered. Your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is gone, and you are at peace with God, your Lord and Creator, and also within your own soul. And the Lord that can be counted on to deliver us from our own sin can certainly also be counted on then to deliver us from every evil that comes because of others' sins or because of the sad reality of sin in our world. As Samuel reminded the Israelites that God was there to rescue them, his people, and as the 10 lepers were delivered from their disease, so Paul, in our reading in 2 Corinthians, tells of his deliverance from deadly peril by God who raises the dead. Of course, while sin causes stress, not all stress is caused by sin, but even so, we often need deliverance from it. And always, the Lord can be relied on to rescue us. Now, Paul, writing under inspiration by the Holy Spirit, we remember, Paul wants the Corinthians and us to understand both the purpose and the value of the things that cause us stress and worse. These verses from the very beginning of 2 Corinthians, in fact, are an often overlooked passage that actually comes right out and explains the answer to one of the questions that Christians and even skeptics are most inclined to ask and most often struggle to find the answer to. That question, why? Why are we experiencing these bad times? What's the purpose of these problems? Why am I under all this stress? The Greek word thlipsis, that appears throughout this passage to refer to troubles, has a basic meaning of not just, you know, bad things, but more specifically has the idea of things that are crushing, pressing, squeezing, compressing, tightness or pressure. That sounds a lot like stress, doesn't, or even anxiety, doesn't it? And what causes this in your life? For most of us, it's probably not actual danger to our lives like Paul and his companions were facing, though for many Christians in other parts of the world today, that is still a real issue. The most common source of thlipsis in our lives is usually the responsibilities of our various vocations, the workload we carry because of our callings as parents and spouses, as students and teachers, as good friends and faithful family members, as officers and enlisted men, as architects and engineers, and whatever else that we do, that we are called to do, that can and does bring us stress. And all of it together, all at the same time, can often seem overwhelming, especially if we already have issues with anxiety. And along with all those responsibilities can come the additional difficulties of doing the right thing when there's pressure from other people to do what's wrong, or the burden of believing and confessing the right thing, not unlike Paul's or the Corinthians' situations, when it would be so much easier or so much more comfortable to go with the flow of our culture and society and embrace what is against God's will and word. So if the Lord really loves us, and he does, and if the Lord wants what's best for us, and he does, and if the Lord has the power to make good things happen, and he does, then why? Why do bad things happen to God's people? Why the bad times instead of good? Paul gives us more than a few answers here, gives us more than a few reasons for all the stress. And the first he mentions is comfort. When we call on the Lord in the day of trouble, he will deliver us and we will glorify him. The comfort that we receive from God in our troubles is comfort that we can then give to others when they have troubles. It overflows that way. Sometimes it's the more general confidence of simply knowing that God has our back that we can then communicate to a fellow believer who needs to know that God has his or her back. Sometimes it's more something more specific when we can cite how the Lord helped us through a particular bad situation that he will help our brother through too. The way, for instance, a Christian who has lost both of his parents is uniquely situated to offer comfort to a sister in the faith whose parents have both just died. Another reason for flipsis in our lives is endurance. God allows it in order to stretch our faith and to strengthen us in the face of future troubles. When we see that yesterday's burdens were not, indeed, more than we could bear, we appreciate more and more God's promises to see us through everything and to give us all that we need to survive and maybe even thrive as his children. Just as we build muscle mass through stress training, our faith grows when it deals with the difficulties that the Lord allows in our lives. But mostly what our troubles teach us and grow in us is trust, not in our own strength or worthiness, but trust entirely in the Lord. Paul said that things got so difficult for him and his co-workers. Sometime in Asia, we don't know the details. It might have been the time in Ephesus when there was a riot and people wanted to stone them. But he says that things were so bad that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But, he wants us to know, this happened that, because, that we might not rely on ourselves but on God. Our tendency, our natural inclination as sinful, self-centered human beings is to count on ourselves for everything and to only ask for help if and when we absolutely have to, and even then sometimes not. But that is not the right way to handle stress. And Paul wants every Christian to understand that this is the main reason for our bad times. The reason is to bring us the good thing of greater, yes, even total, reliance on God. It's not laziness. it's wisdom. It's not weakness. It is using God's strength. It's not foolish. It's the smartest thing we can do. Because the Almighty Lord and Creator of the universe is our loving Father, our rock, our deliverer. And He has promised to work all things out for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. There is something more, though. Another reason for bad times for God's people. It's not only what our eventual deliverance brings, praise to the Lord. It is also what plays a role that we cannot completely understand, but it plays a role in that deliverance. The prayers of our fellow believers. And when those prayers for us in our troubles, those requests rooted in our stresses are answered, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us. You see, more troubles means more prayers and more deliverance, which means more thanksgiving, which is always a good thing. A good thing in general, but it is also more specifically a good thing for our hearts, a good thing for our faith, and a good thing for living our daily lives as Christians. And that's one of the things that we've been learning with the practice, the habit that this 364 days of Thanksgiving theme is encouraging in us. And if you're one of the people who got the book or went through the Bible study with us on Sunday morning, you know what it is. It's this habit of not just saying thank you, God, not just saying thanks at our before meals, but of every day writing down, so that you remember it, one thing in your life that you are thankful for, and making it a different thing every day. We remember the ways in which God has helped us, has delivered us, has blessed us, has given good things to us, and that teaches us all of these lessons. One of the ones that I thought of and wrote down to thank God for the other day was almost kind of took me by surprise when I thought of it. And that was memories. Not just the Bob Hope thanks for the memories kind of thing, but actually giving God thanks to God for memory, for the fact that we remember things. And not just for the memory of good things and good times and saying, boy, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad God gave that to me. I'm glad I had that friendship, that love, but also thanking God for the memory of the bad times too. Memory of the sins, the evil things, the awful things, the stupid mistakes that we made that God still forgave us for and restored us from. The memories of the awful things that happened in our lives, the losses, the griefs, the pains, the troubles, all of those things that God came through for us and delivered us from, proving once again, establishing, giving us evidence that yes, He is the God who rescues His people from their troubles. And taking it a step further, We don't give thanks just that we remember these things, but sometimes we also give thanks for forgetting. Things, we can forget certain things because we know God took care of them. We don't need to think about them anymore. So we end up remembering the lesson without necessarily remembering all the things that taught us that lesson. And we can be thankful here that Paul used one of his memories to teach the Corinthians all about the reasons for bad times and what comes from them, so that they didn't have to learn the lesson in quite so hard a way with quite so much Philipsis as he did. And neither now, of course, do we, because we have the same things. So we can also say that we thank God not just for our own memories, but for history. Not just for the blessings, not just for the good times of peace and prosperity that has come to our families, to our nations, to our peoples. But we also thank God for the flipsis, for the bad times, times of persecution and pestilence and poverty, times of war, of violence, of crime. Not that we're happy about the bad things or bad things that have happened to other people, but we are giving thanks because now from those things we can recognize how all history shows us God's hand at work to bless his people. Maybe not obviously in the short term, but still richly in the long term. Teaching us that we can rely on him for deliverance, for everything. That we can affirm with Paul that he has delivered us from deadly perils or not so deadly perils, and he will deliver us, that on him we set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. We understand this now. We understand that bad times for God's people mean good things. Amen. Please rise. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.